We have seen a collection of personalities on this program and a collection of ethnic groups as well, making up the life of Old Town San Diego in the 1850s to the 1880s. And the questions that minorities faced at that time might seem similar to today. There would have been pressure to adopt the ways of San Diego life and forget the traditions that were brought from far corners of the globe. Louis Rose was the first Jew to settle here, and San Diego's Jewish population remained quite small for some years after. San Diego author Henry Schwartz.
Well, when they came west, there was a tremendous temptation to drop their Judaism. One, because it was difficult to practice. There weren't enough Jews. They couldn't have what we call kosher meat. There were a great temptation to assimilate, because that's what more or less the Anglo population would like. They'd become Christianized. But they held on to their religion, and they held religious services. The first religious service was held in Old Town about 1852, involving three Jews. Now, you know, in Judaism, it takes 10 Jews to have a quorum, to have a religious service. Well, they only have three, so what do? You call it a rump minyan. You have three, so you have a service. You know, what can you do? So they have held on, and each high holy days, there were services in San Diego from approximately 1852 to today. And they were held in homes, above stores, and finally, as more Jews came, they got a quorum. And then eventually, they were able to build their own synagogue. Built in 1889, it now stands on the corner of 2nd and Beach Street downtown.
The Temple Beth Israel is a part of the plan for Heritage Park. That will be a group of Victorian-era buildings that have been moved to their present location on Juan Street, near Old Town and Presidio Hill. Henry Schwartz has been interested in the temple for a long time. He's written about its history and has been instrumental in its inclusion in Heritage Park.
It will serve as a museum. One idea they have is to make it a museum of the history of the religions in San Diego, all religions, with pictures of early church buildings, etc. Another place would be use it for a meeting hall, poetry reading, seminars, as a meeting place primarily, also perhaps for weddings.
I wonder if you think this will play some importance to people here in San Diego to see the first Jewish synagogue, the first building that represented the early Jewish settlements here.
Yes, I think there's a feeling of continuity, what it was like in Victorian times, the simplicity of the churches. And I think that I think Heritage Park, as the county plans it, will be a significant addition to Old Town and in preserving our past.
San Diego writer Henry Schwartz. Claire, Heritage Park is an interesting concept. Could you tell us a little bit more about it?
Oh, I'd be glad to. That's one of my favorite subjects. Heritage Park is a project of the San Diego County Board of Supervisors under the auspices of the County Park and Recreation Department. And the Park and Rec Department of the county have their headquarters right there in Heritage Park in the first house that was moved into Heritage Park. That's the Sherman Gilbert House, magnificent Victorian house. And, well, it's right near Old Town State Park, and it's a total of about 7 acres, I believe, that they have set aside, and they decided that they would make what's like a Victorian preserve, sort of a retirement home for Victorian houses. They will provide an example of the diversity of Victorian architecture of the times, and they will all of them be utilized for for business purposes of one kind or another. There's going to be a restaurant in one of them, and a travel agency, and art store in another one of the buildings, so that they'll all be used. They won't just simply be museums, but they will illustrate the kind of activity that that you can do by recycling old houses and using them for contemporary uses.
One of the exciting things about the addition of Heritage Park to the area is that now, within a walking area in the Old Town part of San Diego, there is a remarkable array of historical resources for visiting. There's the Serra Museum, Presidio Hill, including archaeological digs that can be seen in progress. There's Presidio Park, there's Old Town State Park, and there's Heritage Park, all really within walking distance in that same area of Old Town San Diego. So it's really quite a place for people who are interested in either spending a day of enjoyment or learning something about San Diego's past.
Because they're located close together, it's easy for people to find them and see the changes that have occurred in San Diego. They're all illustrated from the earliest Indian settlements. The old Indian village of Cosoy is the site on which the Presidio was built, and so we've got representation of Indian occupation, of the Spanish settlement, the Mexican era, and then the American settlement of the 1880s, the High Victorian architecture.
The Old Town area is indeed an important resource for San Diegans. And at Old Town San Diego State Historic Park, there are many programs designed to teach history. And one of the most interesting is the Living History Program at Old Town, where youngsters are brought into San Diego's past not only by the old buildings, but by activities recreating life in the 1800s. The activities of that day can easily be imagined as one park ranger stands behind the old Machado Stewart adobe and digs in the mud with a shovel to show how adobe bricks were made.
We have a little hole dug in the ground here. In the earlier times, they probably would have had a big ditch, so a lot of people could work on it all at once. But here we have a hole just a couple feet in diameter. We use some of this adobe soil here. We put some of that in. We mix some straw in with it like they used to. Stir it up. They say in the earlier days, they quite often would get in there and tromp out the mixture with their bare feet. Now we've been using a shovel. Then we put the mixture in little wooden molds to shape the blocks, let them dry out in the sun, and then last year the children had been putting them together with more mud like they used to make a little scale model of that early Mexican home.
Dale Miller is one of the park rangers who tell children visiting the Living History demonstrations about life in old San Diego, leading them in a wide range of activities typical of the time.
Well, this is an early Mexican home. It's one of the first ones in San Diego, the Machado Stewart home, built about 1830. And to try to make it a little more alive, to make it appear like it would have been when the people really were living here in the 1800s, why, we have our Living History program, and children come out, Girl Scout groups, Boy Scout groups, or sometimes school classes, and we have some bread baking in an outdoor oven like they used to do it, some hand-dipped candles. The children tie a string and a stick and dip it in the kettle over there in the melted wax several times to get a hand-dipped candle. And they can take the candles or the bricks that they make home. Then we have some other type cooking, some tortillas, and we grind corn on an early-style grinding stone, and just anything we can do to make it the house look like it would have been when the people really were living here. This is how they used to make their flour. We grew the corn right out here in the garden last summer to break the kernels off. And then you take the corn and put it up in this stone and rub a little stone against the big stone to break the corn up into flour. That's how they used to do it. So once they get you started, do one of you want to try it?
How are the kids reacting to all of this?
They've been very excited. They've known for a couple of weeks that we're coming, and I think this is really an interesting... They're not aware of all the things the good old days involved.
Are they pleasantly surprised, unpleasantly surprised, or...
I think right now it's fun. I think after a full day of this, they'd be glad to come back to blenders and food processors.
I want to ask you all if you like history.
Yeah, sort of.
What's the sort of mean?
Well, sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's good, and sometimes it's kind of in between.
Uh-huh.
Well, history is it can teach you a lot sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't teach you much.
Well, what about this kind of thing where you actually get to make candles and see things as they might have been in the past? Is that better for you than, say, hearing about it in a class?
It sure is. I think it teaches you a lot more.
One opinion, typical of many, sampled at the Living History Program at Old Town. The history of Old San Diego is a fascinating chronicle, a story of great changes, of cultural developments still important to us today, and of the foundation of a city that was to move its location to what is now downtown San Diego, leaving the heritage of our city's early history remarkably intact. We can today visit the first site of San Diego and see what has been preserved as a state historic park, and better understand and feel a bit closer to the early inhabitants. And Old Town today, as an historic site, is just the beginning of an ambitious 25-year project to more completely restore Old San Diego to its original appearance during the period we've been learning about on this program. Dr. Iris Engstrand of the University of San Diego is also a member of the Old Town Advisory Board. She has written, with Dr. Raymond Brandis, a guidebook to Old Town and has been involved with its planning and development.
Yes, we are fortunate in San Diego to have this historic site and the possibility to visit something as it existed in what we call the interpretive period, which is approximately 1821 to 1869. Now, the plans are to restore the buildings as they existed around the plaza, but not specifically during a particular year. And we get into this problem because some of the buildings were Mexican adobes in 1830, but were turned into American homes, say, in 1850, with frames, wooden frames, really just nailed onto the adobes, and maybe a second story added. So each building will be interpreted at a particular time, either in the Mexican period prior to 1846, or, say, transition years, 1850, or strictly American style, 1860 to 1870. It's a fun place, plus a place of learning, a place that can exist for serious students, for research. It will be hopefully somewhat along the lines of Colonial Williamsburg, although people always look at us as if we have, you know, great dreams, but there's no reason why our old town isn't as historically significant as someplace like Williamsburg.
Dr. Iris Engstrand, professor of history at the University of San Diego. Our downtown area today did not become San Diego proper officially until 1871, and Alonzo Horton, the father of New San Diego, as it was then called, was the man behind our move to this new location. Horton dreamed of building a city, and he succeeded, but there were others who came to the West and bought land and tried to begin new towns and new centers for commerce. Louis Rose himself began Roseville on Point Loma. Rose, too, may have hoped his development would blossom into a full-scale city. Are there parallels between Horton, whose dream for a new location for San Diego has become the towering skyscrapers of today's downtown, and Rose, who accomplished much for San Diego during his lifetime, but whose dream for Roseville is preserved in only a few business names on Point Loma today? Norton Stern says there are parallels and also great differences.
Rose passed out of the picture during the middle of the boom of Southern California, whereas Horton lived up to and through it. Horton was a younger man, and so Horton's predicating of the future of San Diego and what was called then Newtown was showed a great deal of real estate savvy and was successful. And then, of course, he lived up through the period. A lot depends in this historical framework on when a person lives and what their age is and what their activity is. In other words, if their peak of their activity, in the case of Horton, comes at a time when things are booming, then it will make a difference. And I think that's one of the basic differences. Rose's dream of Roseville, you might say, only really came true in the 20th century with the tremendous increase in value of land for business and residential area all through San Diego and Point Loma area and so forth. And this it took place long after he was gone. He was out of the picture. Of course, in Rose's case, he's so very interesting and very well known simply because he had his hand in so many, many things that were, in effect, city building, you see. And he was a civic figure, in addition to being a business figure, so that he had a great deal to do with just about everything of early San Diego.
Dr. Norton B. Stern, editor of the Western States Jewish Historical Quarterly. Claire, what would you say some of those contributions were that Norton Stern referred to, some of the many things that Lewis Rose was involved with that really are city building in a sense?
Lewis Rose was certainly one of those who shaped San Diego. He played an important role in promoting the development of the city's economy and its urbanization. Rose was one of the early city builders and railroad promoters in mid-19th century San Diego. At one time, he owned nearly 4,000 acres of land, which represented almost 10% of the total Pueblo land area. And he initiated a great variety of industries, including things like a brickyard and a tannery on his land in Rose Canyon. He hoped to develop a city on his land in Roseville, near present-day Shelter Island, and he was one of the incorporators of the San Diego and Gila Railroad, founded in 1854. Although that particular railroad never laid any track, it was the forerunner of the subsequent railroad developments, ultimately the Santa Fe Railroad that was successfully completed into San Diego in 1885. And the completion of that railroad brought the huge population and land boom of the 1880s, which laid the foundations for San Diego's modern urban development. Lewis Rose, I think, was also important in his own right. He was important, in addition to that, as a significant symbol representing the diversity of population that came here after the gold rush and the diversity of economic enterprise that transformed San Diego in those years. As Norton Stern wrote in his article called The Rose of San Diego, his name, that is Lewis Rose's name, his name and fame are enshrined in the city's history and its geography. The story of his life provides one of the finest examples of the pattern established by Jewish immigrants to the Far West during the mid-19th century. Rose brought to a still primitive small-town economy innovative ideas which helped to transform it into a flourishing city. He combined economic risk investment with civic responsibility, and his range of business interests was balanced by social, political, and religious involvements.
Dr. Claire Crane, San Diego historian and chief consultant for this series of programs on local history. During the time of Lewis Rose, San Diego was moving from a struggling frontier town to a flourishing city, and an important step in that transition occurred when Alonzo Horton bought 960 acres of land in what is now downtown. The price was 27.5 cents an acre, and the city of San Diego began to grow on its new site near the harbor. The life of Alonzo Horton is the subject of next week's program. Twelve Who Shaped San Diego is a series of radio programs on local history, biographies of 12 great men and women who have left their mark on today's San Diego. The programs are heard each week at 12:30 Tuesday afternoon, with a repeat broadcast Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. A resource packet is available with the programs. Send $2 to KPBS FM, San Diego 92182, and ask for the San Diego History Resource Packet. We also welcome your comments on this series. The address again is KPBS FM, San Diego 92182. I'm Peter Hamlin, series producer, thanking you for joining us. 12 Who Shaped San Diego is a production of public radio station KPBS FM and is made possible by a grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities.